Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 is a wonderful passage. It starts in verse 51, or at least the paragraph that I want to look at starts in verse 51, and he talks there about how much God really loves us. Evidently, some people had thought that God doesn't care for them. And so what he's trying to do, what the Roman writer is trying to do, is to help people to understand how much God really, really cares for them. And he starts in verse 51, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not, now look at what he did, he who did not spare his son, or his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to bring a charge against God's people? God says, you're forgiven of your sins. Who is going to say, wait a minute, that's wrong. We go back, and if you read the book of Job, you see Job there had a conversation with God. And he would say, well, God, what about this? What about that? And he questioned. Nothing wrong with that. Some people say, oh, it's wrong to question God. No, you need to question, to look for information that will build your faith and make you stronger. And that's what we've got to look for, is the benefit of God, the help of God, to be able to know His Word and to be able to understand that Word in a greater way. And sometimes we need to ask some very tough questions. We need to ask some very hard questions. I had a teacher, great fella. You'd know his name if I mentioned it, but I'm not going to. But he said one of the things that challenged his faith the most is when he started studying the Bible about how it all came together. He said, it challenged my faith to be able to see that. But he said, I know now, and I trust in it and depend on it. And that's what we've got to do. And the question here is, what are we going to do? If God says that you're a saved person, is there anybody that can counteract that, that can say something against that? No. And he goes on to talk about all these things here, how that God is for us. God's on our side. God gave His Son for us. God did all this for us. And you go back and you read the several chapters here, and you see he's trying to say we are those people that are blessed. In verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. They walk according to the Spirit. And so these people are the people that God says you're saved. Now, look as he goes on down. Look at verse 37. This is the verse I want us to look at tonight. Yet in all these things, and he talks about all that we have here, all the things that are, who can separate us from the love of God? Verse 35, can tribulation, can distress, can persecution, can famine, can nakedness, peril or sword? What is going to be able to separate you? If God says you're saved, if God cleanses you, what is going to be able to separate you from God? He said there's nothing that can do that. There's nothing that has that much power. When you understand that, you suffer whatever you got to suffer. You do whatever you got to do. We look back at the first century Christians and see what they had to endure, what they had to go through. And you wonder, we sat here today, heat, air conditioning, padded pews, all this stuff. And we wonder, what would I do if I had to decide that? What would I do if I had to make that decision? Well, we really have to make that decision every day ourselves, to be faithful or not to be faithful. We've got to decide that. And it's not that somebody, we talk like somebody, if somebody had a gun to my head, what would I say? That's not it. It's when I get up in the morning, am I going to live the Christian life or not? Gun or no gun? I got to decide that. And I don't think a gun has to be up to my head for me to decide that. And so here, that's what he's saying to these people. I want you to understand it. Now, look if you would at verse 37. Yet in all these things, all the things that we have to suffer, all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. Now, I was thinking about this while ago. We are those people that God has blessed in so many ways, and He's given us so much. And we say, how in the world could we turn our back on Him? How could we deny Him? How could we do that? And so here we see this. We are people who are more than conquerors. Now, what does it mean to be more than conquerors? Did your English teacher ever tell you, and I've heard it twice in two different commercials. I don't guess I need to listen to commercials. But gooder. Now, let me tell you something. I had an English teacher in Georgia that would have fallen over dead if a student had said that in the class and she couldn't get to him. Gooder? More better. Yeah, okay. Hey, that's the word, you know. Gooder, more better. I'm telling you, it scares me to think that word is going to get stuck back in our vocabulary and people are going to start using it again. Because it is, I don't know, I guess it's the English teacher, and I don't know a whole lot about English. I had a whole lot of classes with it, but it didn't take. It just kind of grates my nerves when I hear that. Does it bother you? It really bothers me. And these teachers, I can see those teachers going, ha! You know. All right, now, the Roman writer comes in, and he says to people in Rome, you are more than conquerors. Let me tell you something. That's like saying it's gooder to those people. They understood what it was to conquer. They understood what it was when you conquered another nation. I read that one group had a special gate in the wall. They could move the wall out of the way so that people could, the people who had conquered other nations could come through, the soldiers could. They didn't want them coming through the common gate. And when they came through, let me tell you something, all those horses had been, they were shining. All the regalia that they had was just perfect. And when they would come down through there, you know, all the people were shouting, you know, ticker tape parade. I guess if they'd have had it, they'd have thrown it. But they did probably flowers, flower petals, everything else. Their army was coming in, and that general was leading them, boy. And he was on the big horse, and maybe the soldiers were walking. And it was just it was a fabulous thing. It was a great day. And they saw the conquering army as they were able to come in. And then here they came in, maybe with the prince or the king of the other country. And he was in just shambles, probably bleeding, probably dirty, and chains on him. And he's walking through there. And those people going, boy, that's great. That's good. Woo, we beat him. And then all of the bounty that they'd got, all of the jewels, all of the pearls, all of the gold, all of those things, and they'd bring all those things through. And those people go, wow. They knew what it was to conquer somebody. And they also found out what it was to conquer, be conquered too. But they knew what it was. But how can you be more than a conqueror? Couldn't you see those people go, wait a minute, more than a conqueror? If you've defeated the army, if you've overcome that army, how can you do that anymore? I mean, if you've subjugated them, how can you now subjugate them in another way? You can't do that. And so when they said more than conquerors, I think it caught people's minds in Rome. More than conquerors? They understood that. And, you know, Israel understood it too, because David, when he came in 1 Samuel 18, he came in and the song was being sung, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his what? Tens of thousands. Oh, angered Saul. That was a ticker. Wonderful day, great day. But they learned what it was to be conquered too. You see, there's something that is more than a conqueror. More than people that come in and are able to subject people and have them over them. And we need to understand that in this world. Too many people today want to be over somebody. We may, as this nation, want to be over Russia or some other country. I hope we don't. I hope we want to learn to live with people and enjoy that. That's not going to be in the world we live in, to be honest with you. But we can even be more than conquerors in this. And this is how we can do it. We're going to be those people that we can breach walls. Now, it was a big thing to breach a wall. I was reading about one where this country had built on an island, and that's where their city was. And an army came up to take over them, and what they did is start putting rocks in the ocean. They built them a way to get out there to them. Now, that takes a long time. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 2 years it took them to do this. And they conquered those people. They overcame them. But what did they have? An island with a little road out there to it. All right, now, look at what God's going to do. Look at God. God is going to help us to breach the wall of sin. Now, that's greater than any army could ever do. If you go in and you conquer another country and you do that to them, let me tell you something, it's only going to last so long. They're going to either come back and take over you, or somebody's going to come and take over you. Now, it may take 100 years, it may take 200 years, and it may take a year. But they're going to do that. Let me tell you something. We can breach the wall of sin and overcome that, and the devil himself can't even throw it back. He can't do that. I don't care how strong his battle is. I don't care how strong he is. It won't work. Now, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. The people there, Israel, had not, they thought God is not listening to our prayers. God's not hearing our prayers. And somebody said, well, I'm afraid I figured out what it was. You know, God's been around for a long time, since the creation of the world, so he's getting old. Now, don't raise your hand, but what old man can't hear? Did y'all hear that? Some of us have to strain. And that's just the way it is. I think all of us have a hearing problem. And it's not just older men, but I'm not going into that. I'm staying away from that one, okay? But look at this. I want you to see this. Isaiah said, listen, it's not that the Lord's hand is short. It's not just because he's an old man and his hand won't hold it up and he can't do anything for you anymore. It's not that his ear can't hear your prayers anymore. He can hear your prayers and he can help you, but the problem is that you're separated from God because of the iniquity that you have in your heart. And it's shown in your life. He said, that's the problem. He's saying there, listen, I can help you to be more than a conqueror, but the problem is you won't listen. Every victory that every army makes is going to be defeated sometime because of time, because of whatever. The Roman army that was so great, and we've got some of their stuff going on in our country, and not bad stuff, good stuff. Some of their laws, their way of doing government, some of it was real good, and we tried to use some of that, which is wisdom. Nothing wrong with that. But every army in this world, every victor in this world will be overcome sometime. I don't care who it is. But there is one that we can breach the walls, and God's there for us. The wall of sin, we can overcome that. And the wall of sin can be defeated. We got, you know, the marching orders, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I've been given all power and all authority, Jesus said. Now you go into the world and you preach this gospel. You teach this to other people. Those people that want to hear it, that want to obey it, then you baptize those people. And then he goes on in verse 20 and says, you keep on teaching those people, so they can understand what this is and know what this is. That's what they're doing. But here we come up to the wall of sin. And it's a big wall. It's a thick wall. Those people knew what it was to come up against a wall. That was the way you did it. You built your city and you built a big wall around it so that the people couldn't get through. Right, here we got a wall of sin. How are we going to get through that? How are we going to overcome that? Well, we overcome it through Jesus Christ. We overcome it through Him and what He has done for us. Now, we're able to breach those walls. We're able to overcome those walls. That's what He was saying in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and then also in Luke 24. He said, y'all can overcome the walls. You can defeat that. You can go into the great city. And you can overcome sin. And you can defeat that. But now, listen to how we can do that. We can do that because of the powerful weapons that we have. Well, we got some big weapons in this country, hadn't we? I mean, if we lose those weapons and we lose all those things, what am I doing here? Oh, okay. I thought Linda was telling me I'm doing something wrong. I have to listen to her because she gets me out of a lot of trouble. But we've got powerful weapons. But let me tell you something. We don't have a weapon that is strong as God's weapons. We don't have a one that has the power that God's weapons have. Now, I want us to see this. Look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons. Now, as Christians, we have weapons. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the strength of our weapon. A weapon is only as good as the person that is using it. And we need to learn how to use it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns. They're not bullets. Remember the time of the Crusades where people went in, like Muslims are doing today, and said, okay, you either become a Christian or you become dead. And we look at Muslims today and say, oh, that's awful. That's terrible. It is. And it was when Christians did it too, or at least Christendom did it. And it's wrong today. It was wrong then. But listen, our weapons are not like carnal weapons, but they're mighty. Listen to this. In God, for pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? Are they walls? Are they countries? No, that's not what they are. The strongholds are found within the hearts of men. It's found within everybody's heart. And we have the power to be able to overcome those things and to be able to defeat those things. Now, I think Mark had a class a couple of weeks ago, or I think one semester, or maybe somebody else did. In Ephesians, it talks about that. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he goes on to help us to see, put on the whole armor of God, the reason that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, you get yourself equipped to be able to fight. You get yourself ready to be able to fight. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our problem is not with a government. It is not with another country. Our problem is not with flesh and blood. That's not our battlefield. That's country's battlefield. But it's not the Christian's battlefield. Listen to this. For we have, not flesh and blood against, but we fight against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brethren, we don't need an army as Christians to fight another country. We need an army to fight sin. That's what we need. We need an army that can defeat that it can overcome. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, the reason that you may be able to withstand the evil days and having all, or having done all, to be able to stand. You need that. We got to have that. And then he goes on and talks about putting on the whole armor of God, putting on every bit of it. And he mentions all those different things that are there. And he talks about every one of those. That helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel, and all those other things that he talks about there. The army. He's trying to illustrate for people, we're in the army. And we're fighting a battle. And that battle is a battle that we have the power to overcome because we have God. And this is, in fact, it talks about in Ephesians or Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. And listen, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Now that didn't mean a lot to us. When's the last time you fought with a sword? I mean, it doesn't mean. He's saying, listen, this is greater than any weapon anybody's ever had. This is greater than any weapon that anybody could ever have. It's greater than that. It's powerful. And this has the power not just to cut a fellow's arm off. to cut a fellow's leg off, to cut his head off. It has greater power than that. It can go down to the soul. And listen to this, it can go down so far that it goes to the marrow of the soul. Now the marrow of this body is these bones and inside the bones. That's as far as you can go. But he's saying, listen, we have one that is greater than a two-edged sword. It has more power and it can cut even to the soul of people. Remember those people on Pentecost? They were pricked where? In their heart. Did any of them bleed? No. Why? It wasn't that kind of prick. I mean, I prick my fingers about 4 or 5 times a day. And some days I can just press one and it'll bleed. That's just the way it is, you know, being a diabetic. But those people on Pentecost didn't bleed at all. But they took the blood in of Jesus Christ. And they were forgiven of their sins. They were forgiven of all of their sins. So here is this sword. Here is this thing that we have, the power, this weapon that we have that is greater than any other weapon. It cuts to the soul. It cuts to the spirit. It cuts to the joints. It cuts to the marrow of the soul of man. A lot of people say, we don't have a soul. They've taken bodies and they've weighed them after a person dies and say, same, no. I've heard some people say, well, there's a little difference there. I don't know what that is. But you're looking for something spiritual in a physical world. And the only way you're going to see that is through living hands, not through a dead body. It's not going to work that way. So here we have this thing that is so powerful and so great. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how far it goes. It can take. Remember Jesus on some occasions when he would talk to people and he would know what they were thinking? Is that scary? What if somebody knew everything you thought? I am thrilled to death. You just don't know that people don't know what I think. And sometimes I open my mouth and prove it. And that's not good. But if people knew your thought, God knows our thoughts. He knows our intents. Oh, we help somebody. We do good to somebody. And God knows the reason you're doing that is because somebody's looking at you. The reason you're doing that is because you want to gain power or strength over somebody else. Or you feel you got that, it makes your ego better. God is able to judge that. I can't judge it. Elders can't judge it. Your wife can't judge it. Your children can't judge it all the time. Sometimes we can see because of actions, but we got to be careful about judging like that. But God can judge, and He judges in the right way. Now, we've got to understand that we're under orders. Like a regular army, we've got orders. We've already mentioned one of those orders in Matthew 28. Mark 16, Luke 24. We've already mentioned those orders there of going out into the world. There's more orders than that. Sometimes we think evangelism is everything. Let me tell you something. Evangelism is important. It is necessary. But that's not everything. We've got to help people to understand what the gospel is all about so that they can live it too. And we've got to have that. Nothing, don't think I'm saying anything bad about evangelism. I'm not. But it's more than that. It's greater than that. And we've got to have that. Christ is our captain. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, He is the captain of our salvation. He is the one that we're following. He's the one that we dedicate our life to. And He's the one that gives us victory. He's the one that helps us to be able to overcome all things. And the victory is ours because of what He has done, not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done. We just comply with His will. How can we take credit for the victory when we're just doing what He tells us to do? We've got to give all the glory and honor and praise to Him because He deserves it. He deserves it. And we thank Him for what He has blessed us with and how He has given so many things to us. This is how what God's done for us. Now, we're in a fight. We've already mentioned this fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. It's against those things of that oppose heaven. Anything that opposed heaven, we've got to oppose it, and we're going to. Revelation 2 and verse 10 said, be faithful even if you've got to die to do it. You be faithful. You don't give up. Well, we'll kill you. Okay, we're going to have to be faithful. That's it. Even if it cost us that. We're going to have to do it, and we can see examples in the New Testament of people doing that. We need to lay hold on. We need to fight for the eternal life that we have. Brethren, sometimes as Christians, we're way too weak. We need to speak up and speak out and say things for God's cause and not be ashamed of it. You say, well, people will make fun of me. Okay, that's all right. Are you going to win every battle? Nope, you're not. And that's where Revelation 2 and verse 10 comes in. You've got to suffer even if you've got to go so far as to die for it. You've got to be willing to do that. We've got to have that. In Jude 3 it tells us, you contend earnestly for the faith. That doesn't mean that you fight with everybody. It means that you stand up for what is right. And you stand up for what is good, and you're going to be willing to do that. And we've got to be able to see the victory. You know, an army that can see the victory has basically won the battle. If they can see the victory. Because let me tell you, if you know the victory is just a little bit ahead, you'll push as hard as you can. You'll push as hard as you can. Now you look at these football teams, and they get down on the 1 yard line, and they got just 12 inches to get that touchdown. Oh man, and that other one, you're not getting it. And those boys, they buckle down, and boy, they're gonna keep that line as hard as they can. Let me tell you something. That's nothing compared to what we got to do. That's nothing. That's a game. We're talking about the soul of people here. And we're talking about how important the soul of people is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We are going to be those people that are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All this is going to happen. It's going to be something that's going to happen, and God is the one that institutes it. I don't know when it's going to be. Not saying that. Have no concept of when that's going to be. But He said, what I've got to do is to be that person that is ready. For this corruption that we have, this physical body that we have, is got to be shed, and it's going to be shed. And it's going to put on an incorruption. It's going to put on something that cannot be destroyed. It cannot be hurt. It cannot be harmed. And you go over to Revelation 21, and it says there, all these physical things that you worried about, the tears that you've shed, all these things that have happened to you, all these things that are going on with you, please understand, those things are gone. You don't have to worry about those things anymore. You don't have to be concerned about those things anymore. Cancer, sickness, something else, you know, whatever. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all gone. That's the victory that we have. The restriction of the body is gone. The rejoicing of the victory that we have. For an eternity, that's what we have. And so here in 1 Corinthians 15, it's trying to help us to see that. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. Because we have connected ourselves with the victorious person of Jesus Christ. And we walk behind Him as soldiers, walk behind their general, their captain, whoever it is, their sergeant. They walk behind them and they're going to be there because they are the ones that are victorious. And they're going to be victorious. And we have the power to be victorious here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let me tell you something. If that doesn't thrill you, you got to check your heart. I mean, He's saying you got victory. And there's nobody that can take it away from you. There's nobody that can defeat you. You can do that. You've got every weapon at your hand that is necessary. There is nothing that God is not giving you that you don't need to save. You've got everything. The world's got everything. That's the reason somebody says, is God going to condemn people? Is that not hard-hearted? No, He's given us everything we need to be able to have salvation. He's given us everything we need to have a spiritual life. He's given it all to us. He said, here, you take all this, all of it. It's yours. And we say, don't know if I want that or not. I don't like this part. Can you take this part out? I don't like that part. How dare we do that? We have victory. We are not gooder, but we are more than conquerors. Because you see, you conquer something in this world, it can be taken away from you. You can be a victor today and a victim tomorrow. But in Jesus Christ and following Him, you're the victor all the time. You're more than a victor. You're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. Let me tell you something. That should make us feel proud. Not of us, but of our Lord and what He's done. You have the power to be more than conquerors. You have the power to overcome sin. You have the power to overcome Satan. You have the power with the Word of God to help other people to be able to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? We've got that. So we can be people who are victorious. And we can have that. We can have every sin that we've ever committed. I don't care what that sin is. If you will repent of it, what'll God do? He'll forgive you. He's made a promise, and God keeps His word. Remember we read a while ago how that He was willing, these people saying, oh, because God allows suffering. You know what? Suffering says there is a God, not that there's not a God. It says there is a God. Because it's saying, look, there's something better than this. There's something greater than this. It's victory. Tonight, the invitation is, if you want to be victorious over sin, you have the power to do that. You have the power to be a person that is immersed in water, to have those sins washed and cleansed away, and then you give your whole life to Jesus Christ. You are that person that you were born again. You are baptized into the kingdom, into the church. You're a part of that. And then you walk and talk and live as a person that is that way because you've turned from sins. You believe in God. You've manifested that. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why in the world would anybody be baptized if they didn't believe all that? I mean, it's logical to do that. And then He says, I'll forgive you if you sin again. Now, that's hard for us to swallow in this pea brain we got. But God said He'd do it. What He promises, He keeps. You have victory. It's yours. Please come tonight and accept the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Please stand as we sing.
Of the Savior says come.